I want to call your attention back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Hear now God's word. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us pray. Holy Father, we come to your presence with humility and reverence, for you are a holy God, and it is only in the name of Jesus that we are able to come into your holy presence. And God, we have not gathered here tonight to merely hear from a man, but Father, we have come here to meet with you. And oh God, I pray that we would know your presence, the presence of the living God. And I pray, Lord, that Christ would be lifted up in him crucified for all of us to behold the glory and the mystery of the cross, and for us to see the love that you have displayed on the cross. And I pray, oh God, for those who are here that do not know you. God, I pray you have mercy on their souls. I pray that you awaken them, Holy Spirit, to their sin. I pray that you work in their hearts, and I pray that you work in all of our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and I pray to this end that you would work in the heart of me. Fill me with your Spirit, for I stand before you in weakness, Lord. Fill me and use me for your glory and for your honor, so that we may see Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look at the events surrounding Christ leading up to the cross, I'm struck by a sharp contrast between the loud noise of all of the multitudes and the crowds and his silence in the midst of his suffering. You see Jesus standing with Pilate, the Roman governor, with large multitudes, loud multitudes standing in front of him. And Pilate puts a choice in front of them that they can release either one of two men, Barabbas, the common criminal, or Jesus Christ, the innocent Son of God. And they shout and demand that Barabbas be released and that Christ be crucified. And even though Pilate tried to persuade them of the innocence of the Son of God, on the brink of the crowds rioting, they begin to shout with even more intensity, "Crucify him!" And yet the Son of God remains silent in his suffering. He's given over to be scourged. The cruel Roman soldier picks up the whip with the multiple leather straps at the end of these straps, pieces of metal, pieces of bone designed to puncture and penetrate the body of a victim, to rip away the flesh of that victim. And as the whip whistles through the wind and lashes the tender body of the Son of God, red canals of blood begin to intersect across his body. And yet the Son of God remains silent in his suffering. He's given over to a battalion of hundreds of soldiers. They surround him, shouting, yelling, mocking and jeering, strip him of his clothes, put an old purple faded robe upon him, shove a crown of thorns on his head, put a reed in his hand, and mock him, "All hail, King of the Jews." They grab the reed out of his hand and beat him savagely upon his head. And yet the Son of God remains silent in his suffering. Broken, bleeding, battered, he's forced to take up his cross and climbed Calvary's cruel hill, where they laid him down, hammered the spikes into his hands and his feet, lifted him up for all to see his mangled body suspended between heaven and earth. People walking by, jeering, mocking. If you're really the Son of God, come down off the cross and save yourself. The chief priests, the elders, the soldiers, the crowd surround the cross, mocking him, shouting, jeering. Even the two thieves beside him, crucified, mocking him. The devil and his armies of demons roaring and raging against him. And yet the Son of God remained silent and suffering. Painful hours passed by, and something begins to change on that cross. The Son of God begins to experience an excruciating pain that he had not experienced before. He reaches the pinnacle of his pain. He can bear the suffering in silence no longer. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And with that heart-rending cry, we get a penetrating glimpse into the agony that the Son suffered on the cross. God forsaken by God. An utter mystery that we will not be able to fully comprehend, but we must seek to understand as much of this as we can, for this strikes at the very heart of the gospel. My God, why have you forsaken me? One sentence, massive mystery. One sentence, volumes of theology. One sentence to fully unfold would take all of eternity. Tonight, I want you to stand at the foot of the cross, and I want you to consider what the Son of God truly suffered on that cross. Because in it is a solemn message for all of you who do not know Jesus Christ. And there is a divine display of love and an amazing comfort for all of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. As you hear that heart-rending cry, you wonder, what was the Son of God actually suffering on the cross? I want you to notice that the Son suffered being forsaken by the Father. Verse 45 says that at noon, when the sun should have been shining brightly, darkness consumes all of the land like a thick blanket covering the sky. No more rays of sun fall on the battered face of the Son of God. And on this fateful day that saw night twice, you have to realize that this was not merely just an eclipse or merely just a thunderstorm, but this was the supernatural work of God. This darkness that consumed the Son of God harkens back to Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, when God commanded Moses to stretch forth his hand so that darkness would fall upon all of the land of Egypt, pronouncing judgment upon Egypt. And just as Egypt suffered that darkness and the judgment of God for 3 days, the Son of God suffered this darkness and this judgment on the cross for 3 excruciating hours. Every moment feeling like an eternity in itself. He had suffered being forsaken before. His false disciples that had walked with him for a little while forsook him when they said that his teaching was too hard to bear. His closest disciples forsook him, fled like cowards the night of his arrest. He had suffered being forsaken before. But when forsaken by man, he never expressed any agony. But in the midst of this darkness on the cross, the Son of God expresses the utter agony of his soul. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is a different kind of suffering. A suffering that he had never experienced before. His own Father abandoned him on the cross. Left alone in his darkest hours, forsaken by God the Father. What does it mean for the Son of God to be forsaken by his Father? Notice that he's quoting in verse 46. He's quoting Psalm 22. And in that messianic psalm, the psalmist David says this: "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day and you do not answer, by night and I find no rest." This quote that the Son of God is echoing on the cross gives us some insight into what he felt in this agony of soul that he's experiencing. In the psalm, David is experiencing the utter distress and despair of feeling forsaken by God in the midst of all of his enemies surrounding him and roaring and raging against him. And the Son of God quotes this and realize that what David was experiencing was merely a taste, just a sip of the cup, a taste of what it merely felt like to feel forgotten or forsaken by God. But Jesus Christ on the cross was drinking the whole cup. He was truly forsaken by God, and he's expressing this agony and this anguish of soul, quoting Psalm 22. What does it mean? It means God the Father withdrew any sense of his presence from the Son on that cross. God the Father withdrew any sense of his love and his joy and his peace and his comfort from the Son on the cross. He turned his back on the cross. He turned his back on the Son on the cross. God the Father utterly forsook the Son in the midst of his suffering, when that darkness consumed him. And instead of knowing any sense of comfort, any sense of the loving presence of God, God the Father impressed his wrath and his holy anger and his judgment upon the Son. This is what the Son of God was feeling, was experiencing in that utter darkness. Believer, if you're here today and you have truly put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you know something of the presence of God. You have felt God's love for you. You have felt a sense of his peace, a sense of the joy of being in the presence of God, the sense that only his presence can bring, that comfort that only his presence can bring. Can you imagine to have that comfort and that love utterly snatched from you forever, to never know the comforting and loving presence of God? That's what the Son was experiencing to an even infinite degree. And why did this cause him such an agony of soul? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We realize that Jesus Christ is the eternal Word who is God and was always with God, even from eternity past. That word "with," it signifies being face to face. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for all eternity was face to face with the Father, showing the intimacy of their loving relationship for all eternity. Before one star was flung in the sky, before the mountains and the valleys were formed, before the rivers channeled to the ocean depths, God the Father and the Son had an intimate and loving communion and relationship. And yet now, for the first time, utterly forsaken by His own Father, stripped of this comfort, of this peace, and of this joy that He had known for all eternity. And this is what causes Him to cry out, my God, as if to say, God, I've known You for all eternity. I've enjoyed Your presence for all eternity. Your joy, Your love, I've known Your face beaming and shining upon me. I've known Your love upon me for all eternity. Why do You forsake me in my darkest hour? Why do You abandon me? Imagine the most inseparable, intimate union on this earth. A mother with her newborn child. She loves this child with everything inside of her being. She cares for the child. She's tender towards the child. She holds the child in her loving, secure embrace, never wanting to let the child go. And the child knows the tenderness, the warmth, the security, the comfort of his mother's embrace. Imagine how that child would feel to be utterly snatched from the secure, comforting embrace of his own mother, never to know this embrace, that warmth, that love, that comfort again. My friends, I'm trying to describe to you what the Son of God was suffering on the cross. This is what He felt. Divinely deserted, utterly forsaken, as God the Father turned His back on His own Son. And as you survey this divine mystery at the foot of the cross, you have to ask, why? Why did God the Father abandon and forsake His own Son on that tree? I want you to notice, the Son suffered being forsaken by His Father for sinners. For sinners like you and I. For you and for me. He was not merely a martyr laying down His life for a noble cause. He was not merely a good man that was given His life to give us some divine display of humility and love so we can just try to be better and do better. No, Jesus Christ was the substitute for sinners. And on that cross, He suffered the punishment that you and I deserve. The poetic prophet Isaiah captures this truth in the 53rd chapter of his book, verses 5 through 6. Where He says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement of our peace. By His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was the substitute for sinners. Came from the glories of heaven to suffer on this cross in the place of sinners for you and for me. Suffering this agony of body and soul as never before for sinners. The innocent, spotless Son of God who did not deserve it but yet took it upon Himself anyhow. Realize, my friends, that we were all born into sin. As the prophet Isaiah clearly tells us, we were born with sinful hearts, sinful minds, corrupted bodies, darkened, corrupted by our sin. And this is why we have all gone astray. We have all disobeyed God, turned our backs on God, gone our own path, wanted to do life our own way. All of us born into sin. And we all deserve the utter punishment and wrath of Almighty God. But God the Son, that spotless, precious, innocent Lamb, the Lamb of God, came to pay the punishment that we deserve on that cross. Our sins, the iniquity of us all, was laid on Him, as the great apostle said, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, He who knew no sin was made to be sin." Our sin was laid on Him. He became the sin bearer, bearing the weight and the guilt and the punishment of our sin. It was as if He committed every single vile, wretched crime and sin that you and I have ever committed. It was as if He had truly done it. Our sin laid upon Him. And God the Father sat on the judgment seat. The Son of God was being judged. He heard the indictment. The charges were read off against Him. Murderer, adulterer, robber, idolater, pride, anger, lust, jealousy, envy, any sin that you can imagine, read off against Him and laid upon Him. And He's convicted like a common criminal. And God the Father spares Him no mercy, pours out His wrath and His anger and His judgment upon the Holy Son of God on that tree. The ocean of mankind's sin overwhelming Him, the punishment, the weight of it, the guilt of it, bearing upon His soul, His body, like a great tidal wave of God's wrath consuming Him, wave upon wave of punishment beating upon His body. This is what the Son of God suffered on the cross. This is why He suffered on the cross. He was the substitute for sinners, utterly forsaken, punished for our sins, for you and for me. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then I want you to hear me clearly. You are in danger. You are in danger. You do not know Jesus Christ as your substitute. You do not know Him as the one who has suffered the punishment for your sins. That means you still owe God that punishment for your sins. Do you realize that you were born into sin? That you were born with your mind, your heart, your very soul corrupted by sin, darkened by sin? And that's why you do not obey God. You don't keep His commands. You don't love Him as He calls you to love Him. You have disobeyed Him. Almighty God, the Holy God, you have turned away from Him, turned your back on Him, sinned against Him. And oh, my friend, hear me tonight. Your sins against an infinite and a holy God deserve an infinite crime, an infinite punishment, rather. And God is holy. He is a consuming fire. He is light, and in Him is no darkness. He who did not spare His own Son will have no mercy upon you. You're in danger. You're in your sin. You have not turned and believed from your heart in Jesus Christ. Hear me tonight. Wake up, sinner. Unbeliever, wake up and see the danger that you're in. You will have to stand before a holy God, and you are not ready. You're in your sin. You're not ready. Wake up. Be awakened and see the danger of your sin. It is not sweet. It is not fun. It will damn you. As you stand at the foot of the cross, you see what the Son of God suffered, and you see why He suffered it. But what does the Son's suffering mean for you and I? Christ was not just the substitute for sinners, but he was also the surety of sinners. A surety is a person that takes the responsibility on himself to pay the very debt that another person owes. A surety takes upon himself, agrees, and guarantees to pay the very debt that another person owes. Jesus Christ, if you are in Christ tonight, if you have truly believed from your heart in the Son of God, Jesus Christ is not just your substitute, but he is also your surety. He has guaranteed your salvation with his own life, with his own blood. He has secured your salvation on the cross. Christ is your surety. That's what this means for you if you have trusted in Christ. The Gospel of Matthew makes this very clear that this was the purpose of Christ coming to this sin-sick earth. Matthew 1:21, Jesus Christ, about to be born, an angel appears to Joseph and says, "Joseph, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This was not a possibility, but an actuality. Jesus did not just die to open up a way to heaven, but no, he died to secure the salvation of all of his people, everyone who will ever put their faith and trust and hope in him alone. He died to secure and guarantee their salvation. How? Matthew 20:28, Jesus says that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. That's how. By the Son of God laying down his own life, shedding his own blood to guarantee and secure your salvation. He's your surety if you are in Christ. He has secured your salvation. This is a divine display of love for you, dear beloved. And this is an amazing comfort to your soul. But in this is also a solemn warning for those of you here tonight that have not put your faith and your trust in the Holy Son of God who suffered and died for sinners. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you do not know the only one who could come and pay the infinite debt to the infinite God that your sins owe. You do not know him as your guarantee. You do not know him as the one who paid the debt for your salvation. And that gives you a terrible problem. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ was forsaken. But on that day, when you stand before the holy God, you will be the one that is forsaken. You will be the one to suffer this outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. God will say to you, "Depart from me, you cursed." And you will be the one that's cast into eternal damnation and agony of body and soul. All eternity, forever and ever, you will suffer the wrath of God, the judgment of God for your sins. My friend, wake up. Wake up. You have a divine problem on your hands. You're in your sin, and you will be punished for all eternity for your sin. You will be forsaken as the Son of God was forsaken on the cross. I plead with you tonight. Turn to Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sin. It will only damn you. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Son of God that laid down his life for sinners. Believe that he laid down his life for you, and you will be saved. That is the promise of God. You will be saved, forgiven of all the sin that you have ever committed. All of your sin washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Born again. Made a new creature in Christ. This is your only hope. Turn to Jesus Christ. Put your faith and your trust in Him, you who do not know Him tonight. Trust in the Son of God and you will be saved. But dear children of God, dear beloved, realize this divine display of love for you on the cross. The amazing comfort that it brings to your soul. The Son of God was abandoned so that you could be adopted into the family of God. He was forsaken so that you will never, ever be forsaken. He has secured and guaranteed your very salvation. He's showing you on the cross His very love for you. An eternal love, an unfailing and unceasing love. God displaying His love for you. We serve a God, a sovereign God, who declared the end from the very beginning. He knew the Son of God. He sent the Son of God to suffer on the cross to secure your salvation. From eternity past, God declared this. Imagine in your mind the conversation between the Father and the Son. Before the heavens and the earth were ever created, imagine the conversation between the Father and the Son. The Father says to the Son, "Son, do you see this multitude of sinners that have fallen into their sin, fallen in vile, wicked sin? My justice is upon them and must be satisfied. Yet I love them and I don't want them to perish. What is to be done with these poor souls?" The Son says to the Father, "Father, I love them too. And I too have compassion upon them. I'll take their place, Father. I'll go in their place. I'll take the wrath upon myself, Father. They cannot pay the infinite debt that they owe you. Upon me, lay it all upon me. Son, if you take their place, you will have to pay every bit of my wrath. I will have no mercy on you. I will not spare you one bit of my wrath. Father, let it be so. Let it be so, Father. Lay it all upon me. I'm the only one that can pay it. If they die, they will perish. Lay it all upon me. I will suffer your wrath." We see here God's amazing love on the cross displayed for you. This is why the Son of God suffered being forsaken by the Father on the cross. He did it for you, for me. He suffered being forsaken by the Father so you will never, ever be forsaken. Abandoned by the Father so you will never be abandoned and instead adopted as a child of God. Realize that you will never be forsaken in this life or the life to come. In this life, I want you to know and be assured of God's love for you. Look at the cross and see God's love for you and be assured of His divine, unending, unfailing love for you. I realize at times you don't always feel His love. At times you may feel forgotten. You may feel forsaken. The storms of life may rage against you. You may feel like you're in your own darkness at times. But realize, look to the cross and realize the Son of God's eternal love for you. And go to Jesus. He knows and He cares. He knows what you feel in the midst of the darkness that you feel at times. In the midst of you being forsaken or feeling forsaken at times. Jesus knows He was truly forsaken. Go to Him. Go to Him. And He will comfort you. He will comfort your weary soul. Look to the cross and never doubt God's love for you. He says in His word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He promises that to you because He forsook His own Son for you to secure and guarantee your eternal salvation. He promises that to you. Realize His love displayed on the cross for you. You will never be forsaken in this life, dear child of God. And you will never be forsaken in the life to come. Look to the cross and be assured of your eternal salvation. Let the love of God fill your heart, melt your heart, and see His love for you. You do not receive what you deserve, but instead you receive eternal life. That's love for you. For you, divine love displayed to you on the cross. When the devil tries to come against you, roaring and raging, trying to rob you of the assurance of your salvation, look to the cross and see the love of God displayed for you. He suffered as your substitute. He suffered as your surety. He guaranteed your salvation, dear child of God. He secured your salvation on the cross. Stand on this great rock of truth. Trust in the Son of God. Know and feel His love for you. And let that lead you to greater heights of worship and adoration for the Son of God. For instead of what you deserve, you will only know eternal life. And you will dwell in the loving, joyous presence of God for all eternity. Why did the Son suffer? For you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with such love that you have shown us on the cross. We do not deserve your love, Father. But you have sent your Son to suffer, to die for us. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us. Fill our hearts with your love and let us be assured of your love. And we pray, oh God, for those here tonight who do not know you. God, have mercy on their souls. Have mercy, God. Turn them away from their sin and turn them to the loving arms of Jesus Christ that they may be saved. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, come and talk to me. I want to open up the Bible. I want to open up the Word of God with you. And I want to point you to Christ. We want you to be saved. We want you to know the love of God. Come talk to me. Talk to Pastor Joseph. Let us point you to Christ so you may be saved.